Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. If you have a topic or guest that you want to suggest to us, email us at wadeandwillie@gmail.com. No sponsors. I just want to say thanks again, Jared. I still remember your name. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF from Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's on tour right now with Who's Live Anyway. Whose Live Is It Anyway?
The live show is Who's Live Anyway. And Who's spelled W-H-O-S-E. That often gets confused, so...
Oh, shit. Good call out, because the website is whoslive.com, so you can check out the dates that he is current. It's current. So, like, check your city out.
Yeah.
He's on the East Coast right now.
We are.
Wait, let me introduce you.
Oh,
it's Jeff Davis. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Wade. Hello, Willie. Hello,
yeah,
everybody
dude,
else.
Man. So you're on the East Coast. Are you currently on the East Coast? Are you back home for a minute?
I'm at home right now, but I leave in the morning to go on the road again, and we're doing a New England fall foliage tour. So we're going to be all over the bloody East Coast, from Maine down to, I don't know, New Jersey. We're all over the place.
And you get to see all of the brown leaves that we don't have here.
There'll be more than brown, Wade. There'll be every color of autumnal majesty that you can imagine.
There'll be a gradient of beauty, a gradient of warm brown.
Oh, there's going to be maple syrup on this trip for certain, man.
I always wanted to do a bit of, here's Asian History Month. As the leaves turns yellow, so should your thoughts as we look into the past of Asian Americans.
That is a proper lead-in segue. And I'm glad that we live in times where we're comfortable saying such things now. Remember, you know, when you weren't allowed to talk like that?
That's, yeah.
Let's not go down that road quite yet. Give me like four more drinks before we start complaining about the climate.
The climate.
Jeff.
Yes.
First of all, thank you so much for coming back. You've done the show a few times.
I don't remember how
many times.
And
you've been to Wade's house. You've been to my house. You've been to Starburns. You've been on stage.
Yeah. Are you still living a block away from me, Willie?
Yeah.
How are you thinking about conspiracy theories and stuff like that these days? Do you get into it very much?
The broad answer would be I don't get into it that much. But I think, like anybody else with an active, curious imagination, when you hear certain news events happen or certain things pop up, you know, weird phenomena in the world, I think your instinct is to simplify things. I would like to live in a world where there were more, when we were more like hip to conspiracies, and some of the conspiracies were actually true. But yeah, I think... sadly, my imagination runs wild when we find out that life isn't as fun, which is why I'm excited to talk about this topic that you guys are doing today, because this is where kind of science runs into the unknown.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
And I think that's where conspiracy theories should live, when the scientific community and all of its stodginess doesn't have answers for things. That's where the regular jackass like me and y'all, we get to fill in the blanks. We get to have a little fun and start talking about Atlantis again, because
this is what I think.
So
that's definitely like the sort of slot that we try to fit into, because it's become so like violent and politicized now. Like, we just like the fun shit. We're just trying to do the fun shit.
Yeah, because I think the bad stuff, the broad, you know, Project 25 and all that shit, like, I mean, I don't even think those are conspiracy theories. I think it's just like, I think some people have got things planned out, and we don't know what that is, and then we're all screwed.
We got to take your temperature. We do something here on the show called the WOW Scale.
WOW Scale.
The WOW Scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a five-question quiz. At the end of the five questions, I will give Jeff a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If he's more of a 0, he's more of a Wade. If he's more of a 5, He's more of a Willy. Jeff, are you ready to be weighed on the wild steel?
You better believe it.
First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Do I believe in extraterrestrial life? Yes. Do I believe they have visitors? No. And I want them to have. I don't think they have.
What are you thinking these days, though? Because it's kind of crazy right now with like UAP and like Congress is talking. They're like having special like fucking open meetings and shit.
I want there to be evidence and I want there to be aliens. I'm all for it. I'm not a naysayer about it. I can't believe in alien visitations until I've had evidence of it. So it's easy to get me on board with, you know, with some of the UAP stuff. Like I've been lucky enough. Sometimes we travel with Dave Foley on Who's Live, and he likes his alien stuff. He knows what he's talking about. So I'm
very oh, really?
Fat. Oh yeah. You get Dave on your show, man.
Fucking get us Dave. We would, he's my favorite kid in the hall.
Well, he's everybody's favorite kid in the hall.
Is he? Okay. I thought a lot of people thought he was a dick. Like he kind of comes off like a dick a little bit.
No, I think you're thinking of Bruce.
I like Bruce the best, mostly because he's got some good random.
See, all of my comedy friends like Bruce.
Without getting anybody in trouble, Dave, I've asked Dave a lot of questions about the other kids, and it is really fun to to interview Dave on how well they have or are. Gotten along or how poorly they've gotten along and what the current state of affairs is.
You can say this without getting one in trouble. How are they right now? Are they okay? Are they all cool?
No, I don't think I would go as far as to say they're all cool, but also I am not an expert enough to say. I think he probably gets along with some of them better than others. And I think there's one or two that he doesn't get along with at all.
Okay. Bruce and Kevin.
I would say it's probably not Kevin. Bruce, I would say. Yeah.
Scott?
I think everyone likes Scott. No?
Oh,
no.
Oh, well, there's only one other.
I don't think I'm speaking out of school to assume, based on stuff, that nobody liked Bruce. That's just my own guess. What I like about right. Bruce and the kids in the hall, I got to go back and rewatch it all. But what I like about Bruce is that he's such a terrible actor that it's a style. That like his commitment to being terrible makes me love him.
Yes.
But anyway, I don't know. But get Foley on your show and he'll break it down. So again, if I'm on the tour bus with Dave Foley, I want to talk about aliens all the time. Yeah, I don't believe that we have been visited only because I have no actual reason to believe that we have.
So it's going to take like a sort of monumental, either it has to happen to you personally or it has to be like within the view of like 100,000 people for you to get on board.
Or a major scientist says, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson's like, oh, yeah, this is true.
It would have to break through some sort of barrier or some sort of membrane from are there or are there not aliens too? Oh yeah, there probably are. I mean, based right. on this, that, yeah. and the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, like you watch these things about was it UAPs they're called now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the thing floating by the water and it goes underwater and it's, you know, and we got it tracked by military, you know, tracking technology and stuff like that. And a lot of that can be explained and a lot of it can't. A lot of it is they go, you know what, we tried to explain that one and we don't know how to explain that one. So we're just going to call that unexplained. Do I believe there's lots of freaky unexplained phenomena out there? Absolutely. But I don't know that we can call that Boogans from outer space yet.
Right.
As much as I would like to be Boogans from outer space.
Okay, fair enough.
I love
question
that word,
two,
Boogans.
Ghosts.
Oh, ghosts. I have to say ghosts, dot, dot, dot. Yes, I believe in what I guess we can call ghosts. I have had some physical phenomena happen to me. I think we may have discussed in your show before.
Yeah. Duh.
Totally. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's part of some sort of collective consciousness where all sorts of things are happening at once, that we live in a greater thing. Do I necessarily believe it's spirits from beyond the grave that are coming back to be spooky boogans hiding in the men's room at the Pacific Dining Car? I don't know. But was my /Rob Schraub's old apartment haunted as hell? Absolutely. And so was the men's room at the Pacific Dining Car.
It's too bad that place closed down.
I think maybe you're the only guest with two ghost stories. I don't remember, but like we usually ask if they believe in ghosts, if they have a ghost story, and usually it's just one. So I don't know. I mean, maybe great look inside. Yeah. Maybe you're attracting these ghosts.
Do I believe in psychic abilities? Not necessarily. I think that's maybe not a very good word for a phenomenon that's something bigger than that. And I think that the paranormal, like ghost activity and apparitions and, you know, phenomena like that, I think it might be something broader and bigger than just, we've simplified it to call them ghosts and aliens and whatever the other
right.
thing was.
Or
it's a psychic phenomena and stuff like that. I think like there was a time in my life when I felt very connected to the future or the past or the moment so much so that everything kind of all merged into one. That doesn't happen to me anymore. Not in the same way that it used to, like when it was in my 20s and early 30s. But then again, maybe I just didn't have a lot of iron in my diet back then because I was broke and vegetarian. So I'm eating bullshit.
Didn't you have a big experience before 9/11 also?
On 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah. I woke up screaming in terror. I've told the story probably on either yours or like several other podcasts, but I woke up screaming at like 3 or 4 a.m., whatever, like, and just having a crazy panic attack that, and the walls were going to fall on me and that I was going to die. And then I realized, no, it wasn't me that was going to die. It was my job to pray for other people across the planet that were in big trouble. I remember looking at the clock. It was exactly the time when the second plane hit the building, if that means anything. And I didn't really think about that Ben Schraub called me after I'd finally calmed down. He said, turn your TV on. And then the buildings were both on fire. I didn't immediately think, oh, I just woke up out of a dream and that happened. That was kind of my life for a while, where I would wake up and go, oh, that thing that happened in my dream is either did happen or is going to happen.
And then you were like, this is ridiculous. I got to get more iron in my diet. I'm like fainting daily.
I just kept like, I was having like literal visions. I would actually see across the room something happening that wasn't happening while what was actually happening was still happening and go, oh, that was weird. And then a little while later, not like a deja vu, like where it happened instantly, exactly what I'd seen in that vision would happen. And that happened for a few years.
What if just starving yourself is the key to psychic ability?
I don't know. Yeah, you could probably deprive yourself of certain vitamins that make you hallucinate and things like that.
Maybe some hotshot scientists haven't thought of that one, you know?
Well, I always say as a joke when I have deja vu, again, I used to have them every day. And I would also wait, like since junior high and high school, I would always look at the clock at 9/11. I used to say that in Harmontown all the time. It's 9/11. Because every day, right, no matter where I was, if I would turn on a car and or like if I hadn't looked at a clock in hours, but if I just looked over, it would be 9/11. And I would see 9/11 twice a day. Now, that's just something that, you know, there's lots of reasons why you start noticing that you're noticing that. But I don't see 9/11 on clocks anymore all the time. It almost never happens. But for a while, I was just... I would just randomly look over and it would be 9/11. But that was before September 11th. That was just something I think, I don't know. And then somebody said, oh, you
just, no, you're not yeah, no, but iron you're, but, in your diet. But you're saying the same thing as like, don't people have like angel numbers or whatever? And they look at the clock and it's like their angel. This is a thing, isn't it? Have you guys heard of angel numbers?
I have not.
Where people like, am I crazy?
I haven't heard the term, but I look at the clock like at 11:21 every day. We've got a weird delay going on. 11:21 for me every day, twice a day. Even on different clocks, I'll catch it. Where like if the time's off on the clock, I'm like, oh snap! Or
so. But I haven't heard it called angel. This means that something bad will happen at 11:21. That could be the date. Who knows?
Yeah, I always
could go
equated
it
to
that. It could be the year.
Gonna die on my birthday. That's like, oh, you know, it's hard to have premonitions.
Oh, because it's your birthday.
Psychic energy. If you have anxiety, it's like, well, if you have big anxiety and you can't trust.
It's hard either way. The anxiety doesn't help. Like, Jeff, you never knew why you were looking at 9/11. You just thought it was weird, right?
It was just something that kept happening, and it just became a joke. Where like it happened so often that it just became. Like a part of my day that I would just, and I would think like, well, in the morning, that's kind of a logical one because you're getting up 9 a.m., you're doing stuff. And then I would look at the clock, but it didn't matter what time I got up. I would just like, if I woke up out of a sleep, I'd look over and it'd be 9/11. Or if I turned on a TV and the clock was on like the news or whatever, 9/11, but it's just, I don't know. Again, I don't ascribe any hocus pocus or hoogie boogie stuff to that. But there was a time in my life when I felt very kind of dialed into, I wasn't a cosmos, but there was a time when I felt like I could point where the lightning was going to strike.
That's what's interesting about this. And that's, I want to talk more, but I want to get to the topic and I want to finish this up. But like what, my one question about this is, what do you think changed? And is it worse now? Because if Willie had that, he would do anything to keep it, I think.
I kind of miss it. Like, I remember I was on, like, I was performing on a cruise ship, and this would have been around the time when I was having those visions a lot. But we came back from the cruise, and it was when a big tsunami happened in Japan, like late 90s, whenever that one was. And a bunch of people died. And I remember hearing about that because I wasn't looking at the news because I was on a boat and I just wasn't, you know, consuming any news. And then I got back on dry land and I read about that and I thought, oh, that's weird. I didn't dream that. Like, I actually kind of felt like, oh, that's weird. I've lost my power because there was a time when I thought that I would have absolutely have, that would have been on my spider sense tingle web, whatever you want to call it. But then I thought, oh, maybe I've lost that ability. I talked to our old friend, Sam Christensen, our acting teacher, guru, mentor, dude.
Yeah.
While this was happening, and I told him about the 9/11 thing, and he goes, a lot of people had that very similar thing happen to them. There was like a big disturbance in the force, and a lot of people had these kind of weird phenomena happen to them. And I was like, what is that? And he goes, I don't know. And he goes, and you won't have it forever. He goes, it's something that will probably go away. And also he goes, that's a hard place to live because like being that, having your antenna that up and being affected by so much can kind of take a toll on you. I have spent so much of my life pushing things away because I have a very like alert antenna for other people's moods and vibes and things. And I walk into a room and I can feel the mood really strongly. And I think I've gotten very good at keeping that at a distance. And I think that's where my like heavy drinking came from. It's just like, I don't want to hear it all. I want to turn off those channels and not have all that static coming through. Maybe I just got good at
suppressing it.
At turning my antennas off or, you know, clipping them off. Who knows?
Damn. But you do miss it a little bit, kind of?
Yeah. I mean, I still feel like if I go to bed tonight and I say before I go to bed, dream something that happens tomorrow, that it'll happen. I do feel that if I say to myself, I want that to happen tonight, it would happen. So I can.
I really hope that you dream about me just like covered in like dicks. Soft dogs.
Oh, what?
Dicks.
Oh, sorry.
No, no. Oh, my God. No. But then I get mauled the next day and you're like, oh, it wasn't
You want me to dream about you being covered in soft dogs?
Yeah. And I'm like having fun and stuff. And you go, Wade, you're going to have the best day. You like text me, Wade, you are going to have the best day. You're going to be covered in soft dogs. But then they maul me. And then you feel really bad about it.
Buckle up.
I can't conjure up what I want to happen. I have to just say it to my subconscious. Tune into the global what's going on channel. If I say tonight, how about this? I want to know what's going to happen to Wade tomorrow before it happens. And I have that that vision. I will let you know. Or I will write it down.
Oh, great.
On a sealed envelope and mail it to myself.
Put it in an envelope. Yeah, yeah. I can almost spoil it for you. It's going to be me sitting on my couch doing work and then playing video games at some point, and that'll be it. Question number three, Bigfoot.
No.
All right. Question number four, was 9/11 an inside job?
I don't think that we knew it was going to happen. I don't think we helped orchestrate it. I don't think that it was an inside job in the sense that like, hey, we want to pass the Patriot Act and start this whole new fucking shitscape of control over the world. So let's blow up a couple buildings and a bunch of our own people. I don't think that. But I don't think a plane hit the Pentagon, and I don't. And why doesn't anybody talk about that Building 7 or whatever the fuck that fell down? The fact that there is no actual footage of a plane flying anywhere near the Pentagon or hitting it, and the wreckage looks nothing like a plane crash, as far as I can imagine.
They took like 100 of those cameras that were aimed at that area. You know, like it's the most defended building in the country.
If the government had a reason to say, "Hey, we don't show." The reason why you're not seeing any footage of this plane flying into, it, like, undescribably, like, on the deck low, like not coming down out of the sky, but like coming in like a missile across the lawn. If they just come out and said, "Hey, we don't release what our security footage is. Like that's a security issue for us. Like our cameras are our cameras, and we don't show you shit." Yeah, they do show us that one like kind of two frames of a thing and then a thing exploding. And so they're happy showing us that from the gas station across the street or whatever that camera was. There would have been somebody's phone would have seen that plane coming. The one that crashed in Pennsylvania or wherever it was, if the reason why we never saw that is because it was out in the woods over Pennsylvania, that I don't know. I think there is a lot that we don't know about it, and I think it's a lot of weird cover-up parts of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think cover up counts. So we'll give you a yes for that. All right. Now here's a thinker, a head scratcher a little bit. The multiverse. Do you believe that the multiverse could exist?
When I hear the multiverse, I mean, I do believe that it's possible that we live in an infinity, and if that's the case, then wouldn't there have to be multiverses? Because I mean, just by definition of infinity. But I do believe that there are other dimensions and other realities going on around us within
Okay.
us.
Yeah. The fractal
Well,
parallel
yeah.
realities of
That's,
string
yeah.
theory, basically.
Not to put words in your mouth, but you're talking about the fractal reality, yeah?
Totally. What? Yes. No,
Yeah.
like I was talking about on that happens with Spencer. I don't know if you guys have already talked about it, and I don't want to go down a big road because Spencer really bummed me out by mentioning that Joe Rogan had spoken about it too, which I want to not talk about things that
Well,
Joe Rogan. But our
the guy
friend Dave
talks for
Foley,
like 4 hours a day. What hasn't he talked about,
that's
right?
true. Our good buddy Dave Foley, also on the tour bus, hipped me to the telepathy tapes podcast,
Oh,
and I
yeah.
got really into that. And
We
so that's
just
kind of
talked about that.
so that touches into the idea that there are these other dimensions, realities, consciousnesses, or there is just one consciousness that includes all those things. And if you want to call that a simulation, I think that might be another way that we simplify something pretty grand.
Yeah.
I 100% believe that those kids are communicating with each other. I believe the hill exists. I
Yeah, me
believe
too, man.
that. I believe that. I think it's an extraordinary bummer that science and the community about these kids that are spellers, that have the ability through their nonverbal autism to tell us what they're experiencing, that can't be real. So their moms are cheating by touching their elbow and all the fucking weird, shitty pushback on that.
Yeah.
I really think that there is consciousness that underlies all of our science that is more fundamental than physics.
I feel like it would be naive not to.
Why don't I believe in UFOs? Because I don't have any proper existence. How do I believe in this? Because I feel like it should exist. I just feel like what's unexplained about our brains, about death, about life, about the universe, about creation, destruction, everything, the parts of it that we can't explain are very neatly explained in the concept of whatever consciousness would be that we're all part of that consciousness, whatever that is.
Yes.
So,
Yeah. Yes.
and so what if you're a scientist, you believe in these natural forces, but then it gets to a point where, well, then we don't really know how to explain these things. So, and then other people will call it God. So there's, this it's God consciousness or just consciousness or whatever you want to call it. But I think that's there. And I think it would be absolutely the coolest thing that these nonverbal, mostly children, it seems like, these autistic kids that can't talk or express themselves, that they would be the ones that brought this to our attention, that it was through
Oh,
them
yeah.
that
You know, I saw an article like today that was like some scientists saying that like autism is sort of like the trade-off. Like you get autism as long as sort of like knowledge continue. Like you need the brain to have that, I don't want to call it like a short circuit, but like it's like a defunct of evolution where like yeah, that's going to happen as like our brains sort of like grow into like whatever this thing is. And I might be putting too much into the spiritual part of it. They were probably mostly just saying like, I don't know, genomes or some kind of shit. But like it is interesting to think like, oh yeah, what if this, I even think we talked about that a little bit, Willie. Like what if autism is the evolution? Like what if we don't need our bodies? You know what I mean? Like we can just like sit there and like fucking telepathy.
Yeah, take away language. If you could connect brains and have instant communication that way, like, yeah, language is a barrier.
But anyway, you are a four. And I feel like that's very high for you. So you're now a four. Congratulations. You're like one step away from a Willy. I think the only thing is the Bigfoot thing and then the aliens thing. But I'm going to give you a four.
Really? Okay.
I think it's a good place to be. Let's get to this topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Göbekli Tepe, a 12,000-year-old temple that rewrites human history. Was it built by prehistoric hunter-gatherers, or does it point to a more advanced, perhaps even forgotten chapter in human story? We'll get to that and a possible warning symbolically written into the walls of Göbekli Tepe tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. So basically, this thing was discovered not too long ago. There was this hill. And Göbekli Tepe in Turkey translates to Potbelly Hill. Eventually, somebody's digging on it, and they find that there's these structures under here. So basically, in this main area, there's like four circular structures that have T-shaped pillars in them. Enclosures, that's what I was looking at. In the history of humans, the earliest civilization that they really knew of, civilization, was in Sumer, the Sumerians. This is like 6,000 years earlier, and they had supposedly these hunter-gatherers did not have tools or built structures or had any sort of community. They were just kind of following food, I guess. But basically, this one site rewrites all of human history, because some of these pillars weigh like 20 tons, and they are all aligned to stars, and they have stuff written on them. They align with star charts.
What is your knowledge of this? Do you know anything about this?
I watched a little bit of a clip that Willie sent me, and then I did a little reading on it. And what's fascinating is that, because this would predate Stonehenge and the pyramids of Giza by like 6,000 years or something like that. And it also predates what we thought we understood about human civilization, that this would have been thought to be, these structures are so old that it predates farming. Humans hadn't started farming yet. This is like, there was civilization before people started doing settlements, as far as we know. Like, what we think about human civilization is that here's where they started settling in the, you know, Fertile Crescent and whatnot. And then because they, Willie's being attacked.
he's being attacked by a kiss monster.
And anyway, so the technology and the mathematics and the astrology necessary to build these things is so much older than what we thought human civilization was up to. We thought that farming was a thing that started building civilization, but this Göbekli Tepe thing, they're thinking that, well, maybe these structures were built and then we started farming, because like people started gathering to these giant cities and we got to feed these people, so then they started cultivating food.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but we're missing out here. We got all these people here. We could be selling them corn for like, you know, a shekel. Well, why aren't we doing that?
See, and then you went straight to the birth of capitalism, which is amazing.
You're right. I went straight to capitalism. You're right. It's been programmed in my brain. You're saying they were just like, we got to feed these people. They're hungry.
I don't know. I did 10 minutes of research on this. So I'm talking out my ass. Mm. But yeah, they've only excavated like 5% of it. There's a shit ton of this stuff. And they think that it was buried on purpose, that it wasn't just like earth and erosion and shit like that happened, that this was intentionally buried thousands and thousands of years ago. And that lends it an awesome air of mystery. Is like, was it cursed, or was it bad juju, whatever, or what the fuck? But like, it was around.
Was it a time capsule?
Mathematics predates a lot of what we thought.
Could it have been a time capsule? Because they buried it on purpose so that we would get the somebody would get the message. I can't think of I'm projecting, but I can't think of a reason to bury a sacred site, because what they found is that, okay, so they're like, okay, nobody lived here because they're not finding pots or tools. Now they're finding within 100-mile radius that this was a whole fucking city complex. They're finding these structures all over the place. And those places within a 40-mile radius have the pots and the tools and all the things. So they're like, okay, there was a whole civilization here, and this was a place where they worshipped or learned something or did something. They think
they did some shit. Something went
down.
People
inhabited this for 1,000 years. Now, 1,000 years, rise and fall of the Roman Empire twice. And this civilization was here that whole time. When they started building it and when they ended building it, the technology got worse. So how was the technology better when they started?
The oldest stone figures, like the sculptures, the oldest ones are way more advanced and intricate, and they get shittier over time. Like 1,000 years later, they're not as good.
That's why I'm thinking, like, okay, if you have some technology and you know society can't handle it because of the way that it's skewing, right? Maybe that's why they bury it, because they're like, all right, fuck it. Let's take our hands off the wheel. We'll let someone in 1,000 years deal with it. We'll just bury all of our shit because this motherfucker doesn't get it, whoever it is, whoever's ruining the world.
Yeah, or you know, you picture some religion or some beliefs being pushed onto the site, and it's like, ah, you guys don't get it. Yeah, I'm just agreeing with you.
Well, I haven't read enough. How did they know that it was intentional that it was buried? Because Ephesus is also in Turkey, and that was uncovered under a bunch of dirt. But they're not calling that one intentionally buried. Those are Roman ruins there. But they that had just been like silted up, like receding or like advancing tides or something like that. That just got swallowed up by natural geological shit.
Partly because of the way it wasn't like flooded with mud, and there was a hill on top of it. It wasn't just flat to the ground. You know, like I lah at this so hard. Like Göbekli Tepe means pot belly hill. So they put a hill on top of it. They could have leveled it out and they didn't. Why make it a hill? I don't know the specifics, but everybody seems to agree that it was buried on purpose. You've got like 20 ton T sculptures that like,
oh, what was written on them? You referenced something that was written on them.
So ones they've uncovered, 43 pillars so far. They think there's at least 250, something like that. One of the structures is pillar 43. They call it the vulture stone. Now on this, it also has handbags drawn on it. If you're familiar with these handbags drawn all over these sculptures around the world.
We did a whole thing where like when you look at like hieroglyphics and shit, it looks like a bunch of these like, you know, dog people are like carrying a handbag and nobody really knows what it is.
Egyptians, Mayans, Incas, they all show someone holding a handbag that gave them information. There was a flood that happened and there was an entity that went around the world and gave people the same information. And that's why the pyramids around the world have the same technology.
Do you think it could be these people that did that, that traveled around and gave up, because we're saying that they're ancient, right?
From what my limited 40 seconds of research on this was,
sure.
The idea that there were really ancient cultures like Mu and Atlantis and the other one that would have gone around sailing around and stuff and was around dispensing, or they all got shipwrecked by deluges and by floods. And because that's a global mythology, no matter, you know, what religion or culture you come from. And that their civilizations were destroyed, but they had this knowledge. So they get washed up on some other continent or island or whatever, and they meet more primitive cultures and they go, hey, let us teach you astrology and math and here's a handbag. Also, they assume that the Atlanteans and those ancient cultures were really into recycling and they didn't want you to use plastic bags.
When you're done enjoying your snack, give me your trash.
Yeah. Or it was like swag bags, you know. There was hey,
thanks for coming. Yeah,
I'm from outer space. Here's some sunglasses.
You won't understand it. It's like getting a Game Boy. Like I don't know how it works, and I don't even care. I'll play this Game Boy. Sure.
In my laundry room, I have it looks like the Vulture Stone because I've got a bunch of handbags hanging on the wall in there too. But they all say Trader Joe's and shit on them.
This vulture stone has a sun on it and it's got a bird holding up the sun. And if you align that, I say sun, if you align that circle up to the center of our view of the stars, then all these drawings line up to constellations. There's a scorpion that lines up with Scorpio, the bird holding up the center of the our view, Cygnus, and so they line up perfectly. And so when you have a star map, you have a star date. And the date of this, I'll say drawing, is 1,000 years before Göbekli Tepe was built. So they're like, oh, fuck, this is pointing us to a time when something happened. At this time, there was a few floods that happened. There were some volcanoes in Germany, the Germany area, that covered a lot of the earth in soot. And so some people are saying like, oh, meteor hit, made the volcanoes erupt, floods happened. This is an event that happened. Now, there's this comet called Encke. It's only like a mile big, but it used to be, I think, like 100 miles big. I don't know, something like that.
It was it was a super comet that was like 100 miles wide, and it broke up into a million smaller comets.
And so every year we go, the Taurid meteor shower is the biggest one every year. It lasts for like 3 months, basically. And that's when a lot of these big things happen. In 2020, in Japan, there was a big bright thing in the sky, and it blew up in the air, and people could feel it everywhere. Car alarms went off for hundreds of miles. The Tunguski event in Russia that was
Tuskegee Airmen.
Tuskegee, no, yeah, right. Fuck, no, that's not it.
But that's what I was thinking.
I'm complaining that
it's some Russian shit.
Some Russian shit, big meteor hit during the Taurid meteor shower. And so basically.
Oh, okay.
They think,
so okay,
this is a map to the Taurid meteor shower. And some people think that this is a warning. The reason why they buried it and the reason why there's a specific star date is for the future to be like, hey, this is going to happen again.
Right. Right. But now it's just.
That's why they give you the handbags. They're like, hey, everybody, comets are coming back. Here's the dates, and here's some handy tote bags, because you're gonna have to fucking take it to the streets when the comet starts happening.
I don't know if you have a car yet, but this wiper will be really good at getting ash off of your windshield if you know what that is. We know because we're super advanced. But yeah, here's some
swag. Here's a USB, a flash drive.
there's an iPod in here.
Season 2 of Firefly or some shit. when I think about this, I know it's been done in movies and stuff, but like when the big cataclysmic, you know, civilization destroying events happen. Oh shit, my entire civilization got wiped out, and I wash ashore, and I come from this fancy, advanced, super sexy ancient civilization, and then I meet a bunch of early humans who are still in the Stone Age, and I go, oh shit, I gotta teach them math. You gotta hope that it wasn't some dumbasses that survived this thing. Like, if I had to wash up on shore and teach a bunch of dummies, like how to start a fire, we'd be fucked. We'd be in deep trouble. Yeah,
totally.
I certainly couldn't do is teach them how to create a calendar.
Picture explaining technology.
Picture like me explain technology.
Yeah, sure.
Using references they don't even know. But like, I don't know what metals are conductive. I wouldn't know how to let's just do it now. I wash up and I'm like, how do I make a fucking iPod? Fuck, who knows, dude?
Yeah, or you have an iPod.
I don't know what a microchip is.
It's only going to last for 3% more.
I don't know that I would be worried about like Beyonce at that point. I'd be like, oh fuck, I have to teach these people stuff, and I'm the dumbest. I mean, it's Idiocracy, only he actually solves the problem.
Or it's like if you were Marty McFly or Biff, and you could go back in time and you had all the, you know, you knew who won every World Series and stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Like if I went poof, oh shit, it's 20 years ago. I could go buy stock, or I could go bet on games. I wouldn't remember who won the goddamn World Series unless I had the Biff racing form. Yeah, it's like
totally.
When I see those movies about someone going back in time and fucking taking over because they know the score, my instant fear is I'm the guy from Idiocracy. Is like I don't know how to make a pencil.
Yeah,
like, right. You know, like forget about that. Yeah, like I don't know how to.
I know they had stripes. Fundamental shit. I think they had stripes on their uniform.
They must have been cut into octagons or hexagons for some reason. So they must be that.
So they don't roll off your desk, bro.
Oh, shit. God, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid that I can't think of the most obvious thing. So Willie, like, what does this mean? Like, who's in on this? Are people talking about it? Because you said it's a newer discovery, right?
Yeah, and it's changing everything so much that, like, you know, the regime of history doesn't want to change everything that they all work so hard for. But if you look at the site, the hardest part about it is now they've covered this whole thing and kind of made it a tourist attraction. But what they've done by covering it is disconnecting you from the star alignments. You can't see at night what it's aligned to, or, you know, because this thing existed for so long and it was all aimed at Sirius. Well, in 1,000 years, Sirius kept moving as we moved with the precession of the equinox. So they built another enclosure that was also aimed at Sirius. And so they're paying attention to what it's aimed at. And so what I think, my takeaway is, if this gigantic comet Encke that broke up and we go through it every year, these particles are also still in orbit. And so, sure, we have our route around the sun, but so do these meteors. And so every year the torrid showers, you know, normal, we don't think of anything of it. I feel like we're going to go through a big fucking chunk of Encke that, like, we're just not really tracking because it's just mixing this meteor shower thing. And so, you know, some people claim that because they knew so much about the stars and all this stuff that, like, I don't think it was just observed with the eye. I think that there's a consciousness connection to it in some way. And somehow they know that there's bigger things out there that we're going to run into again. You know, this hits Earth and, you know,
even just at a scientific level, without like the bigger possibility of consciousness and all that stuff. If 11,000 years ago, people were so good at astronomy that they go, okay, when we were pointing at Sirius and that's where Aquarius was and that's where Sagittarius was, and it's exactly on that vulture stone, they have it perfectly mapped out. Like they, and like Willie said, that can tell us exactly what year it was within 100-year range. That this was 10,900 years ago. That's what they were talking about in that picture. But that was also 1,000 years before that thing was built. So they're talking about something that was ancient history to them. So why would they do that? That does sound like a warning, or certainly like to make that big of a deal out of it is saying like, hey, like, watch out. If their knowledge of the solar system and the stars is so good that they're like, oh, like, it's going to happen again. Like, we're going to, like that's how good their knowledge of interstellar space is. Or a solar system, that we would be coming through those comet fields again. That's pretty impressive just on its own. And then you add to the fact that we don't have evidence that we were even farming back then.
Yeah.
And then again, we also don't have evidence of lots of shit that's just either underwater or under a bunch of dirt. And like Willie was saying, there's the archaeological community that they get really orthodox about what they've already decided is the truth about us. Like the Aztecs didn't have wheels. Why didn't they have wheels? Their toys have wheels. Oh, but we never found a cart with wheels. Well, that doesn't mean they didn't have them. They had roads. They probably had wheels. What this all seems like to me is like there is all sorts of archaeology that we just simply don't know about because it's so deeply underground, or a lot of it's at the bottom of an ocean. And a lot of it is so much older than we think, that just simple time would have removed so much of it. And that goes for fossil records of, you know, anyway, I'm jabbering.
Yeah, yeah. And to
no, but
talk
yeah,
on I, top of this, if a comet hits in the ocean so big, they say there could be like a mile high wave going over the entire world. So let's say even Earth right now, if we had like a mile wave coming and just pushing all this shit, you're not going to find all of my stuff anywhere near my place. And they say it's going to be like, you know, hundreds of feet underneath mud somewhere else. And so we find these sites and nobody lived here or whatever. I'm not saying this because they have found, but like the debris field, the shit that would get washed away from your civilization versus the stuff that would survive 1,000 years, you could erase a technologically advanced society from a flood and in one big flood.
So maybe the reason for the intentional burying of Göbekli Tepe is like if the flood happens again, like this won't wash away. We have Like they're stashing that. They're burying that like a dog buries a bone in the backyard. So like to be found later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with what message? Like, what is the if this is an ancient society and if this site is a time capsule, what's the message?
I'm going to go with Mormonism.
There's one word written in the whole thing. There's a bunch of images. There's one word. The word is God. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. The thing I was watching was saying, like, this could have been a cry for help. Like, God, please, what are you doing?
How did they know? I saw that clip, too, where they said that there was one word. The word is God. I want a whole other documentary or a whole other. I need to go back and look up. How did they decipher that? If they, how do they know enough about this language?
So what word? Yeah, exactly.
Why is it? How do they know that that's a word? A, B. How do they know what it says? If there's only one word, was there a bunch of other language to compare that to? I
agree that I brought it up, but it's like it's weird because I'm like, well, if there's no other words and they don't have language from this society because it's so old, they don't even know who it is or what they were or anything. How could you say there was one?
It almost doesn't matter because even if it is God, unless they have a better idea of what this universe is than we do at this point. Like God can mean it's just like us talking about, like, is it a simulation? Is it a dimensional thing? You know what I mean?
The nonverbal autistic people on the telepathy tapes, they, when asked individually, what is it out there that you're talking to or dealing with? And some say God, some say it's their angels, what they all say is that it's love.
Yeah.
And I think that the unexplained underlying force, whether you want to call it God, love, or whatever, or consciousness, it'd be pretty cool if they're saying, like, here's a snapshot, this vulture stone, of a moment in time that happened, and God was involved with this. This was God talking to us, or doing something, or whatever you want to call it. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I think it was only discovered in the 1960s, this site, and it's only been actively excavated since the 90s or something that. And only 5% of it has even been looked at, and a lot of it's just because they got, was it LIDAR, or whatever you look underground. There's all sorts of these structures everywhere. And then, of course, and like Willie said, there's all this sprawling over 100-something miles.
Oh, yeah.
All these civilizations where they did find...
Yeah, and they think it's all the same.
And pans and all the places where they stored the food and a civilization lives. But they all went to this place not to eat or to live, but to either celebrate or worship or commune or whatever the hell.
Yeah. And it's 40 miles away. So you picture, I picture living in Loveland, driving to Denver for a rock concert. It's like, it's kind of a big deal. And if they didn't have vehicles, like it could be like a week long trip.
Yeah.
So it better be a good show.
Yeah.
If I could make an 80s sitcom involving all this paranormal stuff, I would take one of these non-speaking telepathy kids and go around the world talking about paranormal stuff. Like, tell me about this. Like, what do you see here? You know, like, I'm excited for that future of these telepathic people connecting to ancient societies. If that ever happens.
Well, catch me up on because I haven't listened to this podcast. Are these kids still alive? Like, is this a current thing? Or are they all now like 40 years old and they don't give a shit anymore?
No, it's all current. And what this podcast seems to have revealed is that a lot of people that are the parents of these children that are nonverbal and, you know, deeply, like, heavily autistic, where they have no control over their gross motor skills and stuff, but when they started communicating via whatever apparatus they could spell out their thoughts with, and just like laborious and painstaking as it is, they're all describing kind of the same thing, and that they all communicate. And then all these other parents all around the world who thought it was only happening to them, that their kid could read their minds and they could read their kids' minds, they found out, like, oh, it's not just us, and we're not crazy, that it's all over the place.
I feel like stupid Sherlock Holmes. It's like, there's like pieces of this case and I can't make sense of them together, you know, but there's like one over here, the autistic kids, and then there's like the ancient societies, and I just want to solve everything, and I don't it doesn't feel solvable, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I don't believe in aliens yet. It's like I want there to be a simple truth that connects all these things, and I think it's something
right.
I you know, I don't think that we can say that whoever these people were at this hill in what's now Turkey, that they knew what it was. I think that they that this was their explanation for what was going on, and it involved some pretty awesome science, like some actual human Homo sapien brain science, and also that.
So you're actually, I didn't even consider that it's a hill that the autistic kids are talking about, and then this was buried under a hill. Like, I didn't even think about that. You think this is the hill that they're talking about?
The hill is, from what I gather from the telepathy tapes, is what they all call it. Like, they kind of meet in this kind of realm.
It's not a physical realm. It's like a room of consciousness.
Oh, like the quad. Or the cherry, what was the 90210, the pit stop?
It's their central perk.
Yeah, it's their central perk, yeah. Got it. Okay, okay. For a second, I thought you were equating the two, and I was like, that's interesting. And so maybe I'll take that and be like, now that's my idea. The hill.
I don't think that's what they're going for there, but I don't know. I do know that RFK Jr. is going to have a lot to say about this autism talk that we're having right now. And
well, we just shouldn't have given all these kids Tylenol when they were in the womb.
Or that's, we didn't give them enough. If we all really started feeding these kids Tylenol, we'd be so much closer to cracking the code on this.
Hey, by the way, Tylenol has been like very silent about this whole thing. You would have thought Tylenol would have come out and been like, hey, fuck you guys. You know,
look, we've got these 8 tests that we did that say you're wrong.
Tylenol has always said, like, don't take Tylenol when you're pregnant. But I don't think it's because of autism. But
that's
anyway.
The funny thing is, like, Tylenol's always been like, watch out.
I think Tylenol, they spoke up when the Tylenol murders were happening, didn't they? They chimed in on that one.
Oh, when people were putting poison in the, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the idea of humans evolving and needing to have autism to evolve into consciousness. I mean, that's a cool, I'm not trying to.
I just think you don't have to prove it to anybody. Your relationship with your child is like something that you don't need to prove, right? So like if you're getting like psychic shit from your autistic kid, I'll believe you. I don't know why.
And after listening to the telepathy tapes, I talked to two friends of mine who have nonverbal autistic children. One of them, their daughter talks now, but didn't for like a long time, for like I don't know how old she was when she started talking. I asked my friend, have you heard about the telepathy tapes? And am I bothering you by even bringing it up? Is that what everybody wants to know? Yeah. And my friend said, oh, yeah, I've heard about it. And I said, does your daughter read your mind? And my friend said, oh, yeah, all the time. And I since she was born. And another friend of mine, and my friend said, do you ever go to the hill? And the daughter said, why do you want to know? That's an awesomely spooky answer. And another friend of mine, I called up, and his daughter still doesn't speak. And I said, I don't want to be a bummer. Have you heard about this thing? And he goes, I've heard about it. I go, have you, like, again, if this is something that's really annoying, every time your phone rings, it's somebody asking you about this podcast.
Yeah, sure. You get a million texts every day because now this podcast.
And my friend said, he goes, here's the thing. He goes, I said, well, first of all, does your daughter... do you read her mind? Does she read your mind? He goes, since she was born, since before she was born, they've always spoken to her like in their minds, like they've known that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so what do you think about this? You know, like, are you going to listen to this podcast? And he said, here's the thing. The hope thing is really, really dangerous for me. Like he said, emotionally, we so want to believe in anything that will give us hope that she's in there, that she's actually there, that she might actually be able to communicate with us one day, that all of her will be able to come out and express herself one day. And you live with this hope every day and it's constantly being smashed and dashed. And so he's very trepidatious about, you know, listening to this podcast and having another reason to believe in some sort of hope and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he will say straight up, he's like, oh yeah, like she knows what we're thinking and she's proven it a million times. And kind of, I think what you were just trying to say is that if that is an evolutionary thing, the mechanism that makes us be able to talk and have words and be able to communicate like that, that we're operating on that frequency, that if you don't have that frequency, that your antenna are open to all this other much more wild non-3D stuff, where they're all learning languages and they're all learning they all know what's happening all around the world. Like it's because they can't speak, that's the part of their brain that can connect telepathically. Or again, that's probably a dumb word for a phenomenon. It's something that's much more interesting. You know, animal migrations, plants. I think that there's communication that's happening on a heavy, deeper conscious level that our little puny brains have idea what's going on. And if we are coming towards a time when consciousness is actually recognized as some sort of underlying creator, you know, destroyer, who knows, and it were these nonverbal autistic kids that helped us see that, I think that would be awesome. And I hope I'm around to see that happen. And I hope it's not something that takes, you know, the tech bros of the world to capitalize on and make something awful out of.
My parallel to everything we've talked about is just like, if there's this consciousness river happening and all of these intelligent beings or even just all animals are just jumping into it and have a communication because of it, and we don't have it. And I, you know, I'm going to blame capitalism, you know, because I'm like, oh, you know, if I can, because I'm looking at this ET game and I'm playing this thing. And I'm like, we've disconnected.
Yeah, the guy
ourselves.
Who hates capitalism, who has the most fucking toys I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going like, oh, could that be a reason why, you know, it's easy to say yes, but people that want to be connected to the river of consciousness just aren't. But I'm just saying, like, what if what they're experiencing, this hill, was just something that humans used to just experience, you know, and somehow we got disconnected. Maybe it's a sun cycle and it's just energy from the sun that's like changing the way we're made and the cycle's coming back. I don't know. You know, like, I'm into the idea of, I'm open to humans changing.
Yeah, maybe, but it feels like we're kind of like trying to like make these ends meet. Like, I feel like it was just us who just said, like, I think it was just me misinterpreting Jeff's hill thing. I don't know that these two things are intertwined. And as sort of like alluring as the psychic autism kids are, I'm wondering, this civilization who, you know, buried this shit for us to find, and then it's God or love or like however you want to translate it. What the fuck were they trying to tell us? Was it just be nice and like don't do everything that we're fucking doing, you know, or are they stupid too? And like, it doesn't matter.
Who knows? On a mundane level, if it was just simply, you know, like we've found all these pyramids and all these things, and were they astronomical clocks? Okay, let's say that's just what they were. And like this one, like we don't know how they were so good at math so far back that the pyramids of Teotihuacan, can't even say it. Teotihuacan or whatever.
Taylor Swift. I think you're trying to say Taylor Swift.
The Tay Tay pyramids. let's say on a mundane level, this was just the way that they were making sense out of the world that they lived in. And they were so good at looking up at the stars and predicting the seasons, predicting, you know, like, or commemorating these cataclysmic events. Whoever these people were at Göbekli Tepe, whatever that civilization is or was called, if we have it right that vulture stone is actually a star map that we can date, because we can go back in time and say, well, this is where they would have been in the solar system at this time to see that view of the sky. And we're pretty confident that we can do that. And we can also date the the finds, whatever technology they're using to do that, to say, well, they were talking about a thing that happened 1,000 years before then. Obviously, it was they had some important reason to document that. Whatever that is, if that's part of their own mythology, their own religion, or if that's their way of saying, like, no, this is going to keep happening because it happened 1,000 years ago and it's going to happen again. Not because God told us so, but because we're just really good scientists. And you know what? We don't know what this all means, so we're going to call it God. In the same way that like astrophysicists and particle physicists are calling things God particles, when we don't know what something is, we jokingly or non-jokingly refer to it as a force we call God. Right. Even at its most mundane level, finding out that archaeologists have been wrong and that our technologies and our civilizations were way hipper, way, way, way before we thought they were. And it'd also be stupid to assume that that's the oldest find we're going to find or that exists yeah. underneath the fucking layers of Earth.
The next rewrite. It's like, well, now it's this.
See, that bums me out because we're just, is this what people mean when they say time is a flat circle? It's not that we're actually repeating the same shit. It's just that we will never learn and we're just going to keep repeating the same shit.
Like, if you're a civilization that even 11,000 years ago, whatever it was, that you're so good at looking at the stars and predicting things and saying, okay, well, this is what happened 1,000 years ago, and this is that Encke comet, and that's going to keep being a recurring factor, not because we believe in God, but because we've mapped out the sky. We know it's going to happen again. And it's not necessarily saying, you know, repent, ye sinners, and the rapture is coming. Maybe it is. But at the very least, it's just saying, like, this isn't, we live on a rock floating through space, and there's a lot of other rocks out there, and occasionally right. we all run into each other. And what we do know,
yeah.
because we're so good at this, we've been around for so long as thinking Homo sapiens, that this rock ain't done running into shit, and like the cataclysms are going to be a recurring theme. You know, I think
well, so. Maybe that's just the answer. Then it's just a warning. You know, it's just like, hey, we noticed this. Let's put a fucking bulletin out. You know, it's a silver alert. What's the kid one? I don't know why Amber. I jumped to Amber. Amber Alert. It's an Amber Alert.
I just picture us
cosmic shit
putting up satellites around the Earth to block comets during the torrid meteor showers. You know, it's like, well, let's just add some extra satellites, some extra moons as a defense. I mean, you know, it's a shot. It's going to hit it. But supposedly there was this one in China where they moved it to hit. Have you seen that, where there was a meteor that came in and supposedly China had a missile that hit it?
Yeah, it moved it, right?
It stopped.
Oh, it moved it. It moved it. Like it fucked its trajectory up. That's what I saw. I think me and Jeff saw the same thing.
As limited as our current science is, if a meteor does come close and we have an Earth-killing meteor on a collision course with Earth, that the easiest, simplest thing that we can do is train a bunch of oil riggers to go up on a spaceship.
Yeah. But can I just add something to that? I'm totally on board with that. But I would like for them to have a bunch of interpersonal complex with one another.
That's, again, that's where humanity, science, God, technology, like, you're still going to find out. No matter what culture you're in, there's going to be a Steve Buscemi who's going to be a little bit of a fucking loose, you know.
I've got a friend that can get the job done.
He went space mad. He went space mad. It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
And it's a story as old as, you know, as civilization itself, is that would it have been easier to train our existing astronauts how to blow up a comet or risk bringing these workaday blue collar oil riggers drill.
Like, no, it's like, better this way.
I think, you know, it seems simple to teach astronauts how to drill.
No, because astronauts are notoriously stupid. They're meatheads, they're Air Force pilots, you know.
Yeah. And also,
stupid people.
You can be too into science, which you stop being able to do is improvise. You gotta fucking lead with your dick and your tits sometimes and get out there and
your attitude. Don't forget your attitude.
Right.
improvisational handbook for scientists. That's what I'm gonna write. Right.
You can hang it up next to the poster that says, like, so you've traveled back through time. Here's what you need to know. Coal is fuel, whatever that poster says. You guys remember that?
No.
It's a famous poster. Maybe I'm too online, but anyway,
I do like the fact that, I mean, I'm taking these archaeologists' word at it over at the good old Göbekli Tepe mountain hill, that they do say that these three vultures, that is them holding the sun or Sirius the star, and here is the constellations, and yeah, okay, that's a pretty accurate sky map, and that they're using that. I'm taking their word for it that that's what that means. And that's just not us loving to connect dots and read things in.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's it's a big connection, but, and it lines up. But like, can you reverse engineer anything? Yeah, go on.
But like on the side of the Voyager spacecraft, as it still flies away from us into interstellar space, is a map of how to find Earth. If you, and I think it's in relationship to three pulsar stars.
Yeah.
Like this is the frequency that this one pulses at, and this is the frequency that that pulse. I'm sure I'm fucking this up. But if you know where those three pulsars are in relationship to that, this is where we live. We live here in relationship to that. And there were even scientists involved in the Voyager program who thought, do we know that that's a good idea to tell the rest of the universe where we are?
Yeah.
Because totally. Then they might go, oh, then they have hydrogen there. We can go mine their hydrogen and murder everybody.
This gold disc, we've got more of it.
Right. But like, do we want the whole world to know where we are or not? But I do like the idea that we feel pretty confident that on a two-dimensional little piece of gold that we can do a cave drawing and say, in this vast... this vast universe, just hang a right over here and we live by the thing.
Hey, well, you learn from the greats, right? We're looking at hieroglyphics and we're going like, well, yeah, it worked for them. Let's just do that. Let's just do stick men and a sun and like nine planets. Is there eight planets now?
I think we're down to eight.
Eight.
No, did we go back up to nine? Did we reinstate Pluto?
I think just for a minute.
Dwarf planets. There's four dwarf planets. So we're still at eight main planets.
We've been sort of pontificating on what this could mean, but do you have any shit that you haven't said?
It's easy for me to jump on board to, the star map, and maybe there's a warning in there. I like it because it's like, hey, this fucking comet tail, we need to take it a little more serious than just like getting our telescopes out every year. The Encke comet that supposedly they're referring to in the story that had a big cataclysm of the Earth, that it could happen again. And I'm going like, yes, we are looking around the solar system and we've got all these devices but you know, these giant things pop up out of nowhere. So it's like, okay, I think following the comet path of Encke is a good place to make sure that we're paying attention to asteroids and meteors in that path.
Right. Jeff, any kind of like the interesting thing
for me about Göbekli Tepe, if I'm saying that correctly, is that it's very recently been discovered, and we're still just kind of like digging into it, so to speak, that it fucks up the orthodoxy of what we thought we knew about human civilization, that it's a very big, important find. And if all that these stones are is saying, hey, this is our science, and we found out the reason why we are where we are right now is because 1,000 years ago, a comet blew up the fucking planet. And this is a picture of it. This is a drawing. And just like the map that they have, that we put on the side of the Voyager spacecraft, this is a snapshot of when this took place and what happened. If that was just them.
It's a wanted poster, right? It's
or it's just saying like, hey,
for the future generations.
This is a cataclysmic event. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's a warning. But certainly this is something to
pay attention to.
My homework I'm going to do for myself, I want to go find out why they know that they wrote the word God on it. Because if they didn't write the word God on it, for sure, then that's kind of, that makes it extra awesome. They go, hey, 1,000 years ago, God came down and fucked us all up, and he started over because we were misbehaving, like in the Old Testament. We all got to get on a fucking ark and bone the fuck out, and the righteous will survive, and then the unrighteous will not. And that every culture has this flood myth where we erase the chalkboard and start anew. What if they were so fucking good and they go, here's how much dirt we got to put on top of this, because when the next comet hits.
The flood's
going to come and erase just that stuff that we put on top, just that topsoil,
right,
just that layer. And when that flood go boom, and they go here, and then like this is our civilization. I don't know.
I agree, and that's why I asked the earlier question. Like, what are we taking from this? Why was it so important that they needed to cover it?
I think it's an ancient civilization pointing at the sky, saying that it's coming back, because it does. We know that comets come back. We know that asteroids come back. We know that equinoxes happen. And this thing that happened 1,000 years ago, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And whether that's a, you know, gather ye rosebuds
right.
while ye
trouble,
may.
Trouble is orbiting, which is a great name for a book. If anyone has a book that applies to, I think Trouble is Orbiting is a good title.
And I like the idea
says,
of...
How do we know that it says God on there?
I know,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe it doesn't say God.
I like the idea that, yes, this rewrote
stupid
history.
And, he was just going to say it's stupid.
But we should also like be open to rewriting history with the stuff that we've already decided on, you know, like,
yeah, but this is the frustration with today's society. It's like people make their minds up and then it's over and you can't talk them into anything. And it's in every level of our society, right? Even science, who's supposed to be like the hypothesis. Well, if it gets proven wrong, motherfucker, give up on it. But they, you know, according to what you're telling me is that they don't, which is why you hate science. And you're on record as saying that you hate science.
No. You keep saying science. I love science. I hate stubborn science. I hate the stubbornness of science. And
all I hear is you hate science.
I'm a man of science and whatever.
We do need to wrap it up, though. So, Jeff.
Yep.
Where are your dates? This comes out on Sunday and Tuesday. Sunday on video, Tuesday on audio. Do you want to point anyone? You're on the East Coast. So if you're on the East Coast, listen up to these dates.
If you go to whoslive.com, October 8th, I'm going to be in Peekskill, New York, and the 9th, Red Bank, New Jersey. Then York, Pennsylvania, Glenside, Pennsylvania, Binghamton, New York. That's our Northeast run over the second week of October. And we have a million dates. If you live in a city that has a theater, chances are we've either just been there or we're coming at you. So go to whoslife.com.
What's the roster now? Who you got? Proops?
We got Proops, Ryan Stiles, Joel Murray, Gary Anthony Williams. And we have occasionally when conflicts or someone gets a TV show or a movie, we get awesome guests like Dave Foley and Cedric Yarbrough and Kate Flanagan and all sorts of awesome people to come sit in with us.
Jeff, thank you for being here, for devoting your time to this nonsense.
I think I can confidently say that whatever we just did right now, we got to the bottom of it. And
I think so. I mean, I think we solved this kind of thing. They're warning us. Maybe they don't have technological advances for us, but they do have, you know, force.
I mean this with all sincerity. At the very, very least, I didn't know anything about Göbekli Tepe until this, and I've read about it, and it's already given me the information that the archaeological community is hanging on tightly to this certain orthodox idea about how old our civilization is, and they were fucking wrong, and they're going to keep being wrong because we're going to keep digging deeper and finding other stuff, and then.
And it keeps getting more and more infuriating because then you realize that like all these people guarding these archaeological things are guarding more than just like a site where there's a big thing, you know, they're guarding like knowledge and information.
Anything, all the outliers.
I get really mad at Willie.
They push away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is surprising how orthodox science can be when you think if their whole idea is getting to the bottom of things, that they would be much more willing to let go of what they've established as facts, like about evolution and things like that.
Because they don't want to look like idiots. It's a pride thing, right? Like it doesn't even, it's not even a money thing. It's just a pride thing. It's just like, well, I can't be wrong. So I'm not going to look
into
this.
It's weird because peer-reviewed journals are the most credible things, but then you also realize that those are the most skewed things, you know. It's like, well, everybody agrees that this is a good thing,
and because everyone's afraid of losing their job and status quo nonsense.
And
right?
The telepathy tapes. If it's not true, if this is bad science, if this is a hoax, if like, you know, whatever the fuck, if this is just wishful thinking that we live in a world full of special nonverbal children that can, you know, talk to God every night when they want to. I just completely lost my train of thought.
Science should be able to prove that. Like, we should be able to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, we should be able to let go of what we, like, the fact that, like, the word telepathy, non-scientific, we cannot talk about it, so therefore it cannot exist. But we do know that savantism happens. We know that people get whacked on the head or get struck by lightning and can speak Korean all of a sudden. We know that that happens.
Yeah.
We don't know why it happens, but we know that it does. Why is that not mysterious and oogie boogie and not allowed in scientific journals? It is because
those are those are just like the articles that you read like five pages into the newspaper if you're over like 60 years old, and they're just little fun blurbs, you know, just like, oh, can you believe this guy can speak Korean now? You know, and it's like, no, but that's important. Like, why can he speak Korean? That's nuts.
Even more importantly, it was nice to see both of your faces again and hang out. So this is
Hey, listen, I'm going to end this episode. But if you are you going to leave? You don't want to do any more?
I can
no
do
pressure.
More.
No, Jeff, thank you so much for being here, and thank you everyone for listening. And don't forget to go to patreon.com/reallifesci to get bonus episodes. And we are going to start a bonus episode with our friend Jeff Davis. Thank you. And just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Hey.